Yeah, that's a really powerful question.
That's a beautiful question.
That's a very wise question, Lauren.
Hello and welcome to a mini episode of The Right Question, a radio program and podcast featuring authors from the American West and beyond. The Right Question is supported in part by Humanities Montana and members of Montana Public Radio, and by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. I'm Lauren Korn, speaking with Megan Kane, creator of NPR's Life Kit and author of Party of One, Be Your Own Best Life Partner, a deeply researched, encouraging guide to bridging the gap between knowing that being single is awesome and feeling and embodying it. Megan spent most of her adult life without being in a serious long-term relationship, and for much of that time, being single wasn't something she celebrated or particularly enjoyed. But sick of feeling anxious or sad when she received yet another wedding invitation without a plus one, she decided she was going to mindfully shift her perspective. Megan, welcome to The Right Question.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm curious about how Party of One intersects with Life Kit or your work on Life Kit for you. Were you seeing certain conversations or a lack of conversation happening around singledom in that space?
Yeah, so Party of One and Life Kit are pretty deeply intertwined. I actually did a whole Life Kit episode before I wrote this book that was about this exact topic. And it went from there where we did a comic that was also related to the book, and we got a little interest, and my collaborator, L.A. Johnson, and I thought, let's go for it. Let's make a book. And how I approached writing the book was thinking about Life Kit, which is like very actionable advice, asking experts. There's a lot of Life Kit experts that are in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of intersected where, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was maintaining the same like friendly, inclusive, warm tone and that I do in Life Kit. And this idea that, you know, turning down the shame and the pressure to partner was something that was really big and a part of the original Life Kit episode. So mm-hmm. I just wanted the book to expand on that.
You know, one of my questions to you, Megan, was going to be about how you landed on the form of this book with these really wonderful, colorful, playful illustrations. That makes so much sense that it's kind of an extension of Life Kit. You write in the first chapter that the number of people in the U.S. who have never married is and has been on the rise. How do you or how did your research explain that trend?
I mean, it's a variety of factors, right? I think one historian I talked to, Stephanie Kuntz, points to things like women's liberation and the women's rights movement starting in the 1960s or so, women, you know, having more agency to make their own money. You know, it wasn't until the 1970s that women could have their own credit cards, right? So there was a lot of choice that was happening for women in particular in their lives. And they think that they could see, oh, I don't have to have a man or a husband to then have, you know, security, quote unquote, for the rest of my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that plus culture has really caught up to seeing there's actually a lot of different ways that women in particular who are, you know, big among this never married rise in our country's history can make a path for themselves.
People seem to be moving away from the idea that romantic partnership is the be-all, end-all of fulfillment.
Right.
You've written Party of One. Former Hidden Brain producer Raina Cohen wrote The Other Significant Others.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in Raina's book, yours identifies friendship and selfhood, community building, as essential. You write about intentional friendships and building different forms of, again, those communities. Why do you think people are beginning to look elsewhere, away from romantic relationships, whether that's turning inward or turning to platonic relationships?
I think people are starting to realize that friendships offer such a diversity of connection that are easily, well, I don't want to say easily, but can be more accessible than romantic love, right? Because romantic love, with a lot of people, if you're in a monogamous relationship, that's all directed towards one person. But I think people are starting to see how friendships come in so many different shapes and sizes, and they give us things to be celebrated, right? And I also think with the kind of maybe disillusionment with dating and dating apps, that it feels sometimes like, you know, it did for me, that dating was not always the best place and not a lot of fun, mm-hmm. right? And so friendships always were a salve, a respite for me. And starting to really dig deep into them was a way for me to see, oh, there is a really specific, beautiful type of intimacy and romanticism comes with being a friend to someone. And I think because more and more people are starting to see that you can't just have all of your connection and love wrapped up in just one person, that, you know, friendship is really having a beautiful moment, I think.
So then what adjustments would you suggest people make, either internal or external, to sort of bridge that gap where they might have been seeing less from friendships and really growing those relationships while single?
Sure. So one idea I write about in the book is this idea of being the starter. This comes from Marissa Franco, who's a researcher on friendship. She wrote this great book called Platonic. And the idea is that most people are just waiting for an invitation to do something, right? Hmm. And if you can make that bold first text move, email, invite, a lot of people will be so grateful that you said something, right? I almost kind of equate it to like platonic dating, you know, especially if it's like a new friend in your life, mm-hmm. just thinking that, oh, you know, we were at that dinner party the other week and you mentioned this movie and I saw this director, the director has the same, or has a new movie coming out. Would you want to go? Even if they, you know, can't make it that week, I think they're always flattered. And then it kind of feels like, oh, like this person's interested in me in this like beautiful friendship way. And I think that inspires then people to do the same, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are just scared to do the reach out, but you know, taking that brave first step, I think is the first way that you can indicate to someone, right? Hey, I would love to be friends, or even just, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. You know, sending that text, I think, is also important. Like, let's hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about these stigmas and the myths surrounding marriage and coupledom. You know, I grew up sort of idolizing rom-coms and the happily ever after of fictional stories.
Me too.
Yeah. Or maybe if not idolizing, at least being convinced that that kind of romance would eventually happen to me. I'm curious, how do you approach navigating these outside forces, whether they be pop culture or just these deeply embedded norms of marriage and family that ultimately champion coupledom? And I'm wondering how you navigate them and how you in the book navigate them.
Yeah, I am a big fan of rom-coms as well. I think what I have to remind myself is, it's entertainment. It's not a mandate for how to live my life. So for the rom-com side of it, for me, I like to remind myself of the ones where I see a really genuine friendship happening between the couple, which is why I love Nora Ephron movies, because mm-hmm. I think it's not about like, oh, I'm falling in love in this, you know, head over heels way and I can't control it. It's a real like beautiful friendship, I think, that happens between those couples, which I think is a nice way of thinking about a romantic relationship. And then from, you know, in the book, I talk about rom-coms and all these outside forces. And I think it's just, honestly, a little self-awareness goes a long way, right? It's not, these are things that are entertainment, they are messages, but they're just that, right? I read a lot of the book about thoughts and how thoughts are not, you know, facts. they're things that are just kind of happening and you can let them pass by, right?
Yeah.
And so I kind of feel the same way now that I see the kind of underlying message of a lot of things that are telling me you have to be partnered or you have to have this type of marriage in order to be quote unquote successful or worthy. I start to see, okay, well, who is that message coming from? And what does it actually say about them and their life? And that kind of deflates the anxiety I have around it. And I can focus more on my own values. So a little mindfulness goes a long way in that regard.
That kind of mindfulness takes a lot of practice, and Party of One includes different practices and activities that readers might try to incorporate into their day-to-day towards this idea of mindfulness, or what you call in the book emotional regulation. Where did these particular activities and practices come from? Are they yours? Are they activities that your experts recommended?
A little bit of both, right? So with my life kit expertise, you know, I talked with a lot of experts. And I basically folded in some of their ideology into really actionable ideas. And on Life Kit, we always do just that. We take what an expert is saying and we ask them, we love to say, like, what is some template language you can say to someone? I have a part in the book about what you can say to people who are giving you grief about being single. Mm-hmm. Or in like that, we also think about the extension of like, yes, like what are some actionable things you can actually do with this idea? Because I think this idea of, you know, maybe struggling with singleness, if that's a, you know, something that you're going through or anyone's going through, it can feel very isolating and very internal inside your head. And I think having these things that you can do to learn to love your own solitude or alone time, for example, are just like tangible exercises mm-hmm. that can kind of help externalize some of those feelings and thoughts.
Before you go, Megan, The Right Question is a program about books, and I like to include book recommendations on our conversation web posts. What books are you loving lately? What books do you want others to pick up and specifically our listeners to gravitate towards?
Ooh, good question. I read a book earlier this year I absolutely loved called Come and Get It by Kylie Reed about the kind of quiet conversations that we never have about money and how all of our perceptions about money bounce up against each other. We talk about money a lot on Life Kit, and I thought it was like a perfect book describing the feelings about how class and money and our perceptions about money are always, yeah, bumping up against each other. So I absolutely love that book and I recommend it to everybody.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you, Megan, for joining me here.
Oh, Lauren, thank you so much for having me.
That was Megan Kane, creator of NPR's Life Kit and author of Party of One, Be Your Own Best Life Partner, out now from Chronicle Books. You can find out more information about Megan at mtpr.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You've been listening to a mini episode of The Right Question. This episode was produced by me. I'm your host, Lauren Korn. Chris Moyles engineered this episode. The artwork for The Right Question was designed by Molly Russell. Funding for The Right Question is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Many thanks to Humanities Montana for supporting this program since 2008, and thank you for listening. The Right Question is a production of Montana Public Radio.